Hello and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that can't quite believe it's got any listeners. This week we're going to be talking about imposter syndrome.
Hi, I'm George from Full of Figure, Full of Bust, and I love that I am never alone. Self-doubt is always with me.
Oh dear. And hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine, and I constantly wonder what I'm doing anywhere other than tucked up on the couch watching Netflix.
Oh, ideal.
Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
So as we mentioned, this week is all about the dreaded imposter syndrome. But what exactly is imposter syndrome? Well, imposter syndrome, which is also known as imposter phenomenon, imposterism, fraud syndrome, or the imposter experience, is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their skills, talents, or accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Wow, I feel seen.
I feel like we should have some horror music there, you know, like the yeah. kind of... George, what does it feel like? Because I feel like everyone probably, even if you're sitting there thinking, oh, that's not really me, I don't get imposter syndrome, I think once we start breaking it down, I feel like everyone gets it a little bit. So explain it a bit more to us.
So you have feelings of being a phony. You feel like you might get caught out. You've got self-doubt and you feel like you don't deserve to be somewhere, wherever it is with friends or in a workplace or having something nice happen. And why do we think that that happens?
It's really weird, isn't it? I suppose like there's an element of it that's like self-sabotage or maybe self-doubt. I suppose sometimes it really links in to, you know, low self-esteem, that idea of failing, but also like fearing failure, but also fearing success and getting too much exposure and then rejection. And yeah, it's really linked into that idea that you're not, you know, you haven't maybe quite earned the position that you're in.
It is that thing that you almost, you don't want your life to be too bad, but if it's too good, you've got further to fall and you didn't deserve to have it that good. And it's that horrible cycle, that continuous cycle of you're never quite sure like how you want your day to go, because yeah, you don't want it to be too far one way or too far the other, and it's horrible, and you just get yourself tied up in knots. And yeah, I think like people listening to this, as we said, you may recognize some of those thoughts and feelings, and hopefully in this episode you'll find that we can talk about some things that we've gone through, maybe you'll find that relatable, and then talk about like our own tips and things as always on how to get rid of imposter syndrome and stop feeling those horrible thoughts and feelings.
So do you think it's more prevalent in plus size women than it is perhaps in general society? Do you think because of the way plus size women are seen that imposter syndrome can maybe have more of an effect on this group in society?
Oh, for sure. I think if at any point you or your body is outside of what is seen as normal and happy and tolerable, you have even more doubts because you're trying firstly to fit in anyway, but then you're trying even harder to change people's mind and opinions of you and your abilities and what you can do because they already have that preconceived notion. I think imposter syndrome is always about doubting people's reactions towards you. And if before you've even opened your mouth, you think that someone has made an assumption, it will already put you on the back foot and already make you feel those thoughts and feelings. And I think that is why a lot of women are always asking, how are the plus size women so brave and so confident? Because a lot of it comes from society's perception of plus size women and how we should be and how we should shrink before we deserve this and that and the other. And they think, how did you get past that? I think what they're asking is, how did you get past the imposter syndrome of it all? And now I think if we give our own examples of imposter syndrome, I think for both of us, a lot of it does stem from inhabiting a larger body and like what that's done to our headspace.
Oh, completely. I think working in fashion, I remember before going into fashion, I always thought like, will I even be allowed? You know, will I not get a job because of the body that I'm in? Because it doesn't fit that kind of Devil Wears Prada ideal. I mean, I have to say, fashion people do eat. We love food. I've never like boozed or eaten so much since working in the fashion industry. So yeah, I don't think that Devil Wears Prada thing is true, but I think I'd very much built it up that, you know, this idea of you have to look a certain way and that people might not believe that I really work in fashion if I don't fit into that mold. But, you know, I've been super lucky with Slink to have done quite a bit of television, quite a bit of radio. And I think definitely I always sit there, you know, in the radio studio beforehand thinking, my goodness, could they not have got anyone else to do this? There was one that, I mean, and I love doing it. I really enjoy it. But there was one in particular I did where it was based on some kind of medical study and they'd asked me to come in. And I swear the guy that was on before me, when he came out and he asked me what I was doing there and I told him the thing I was commenting on, I really think he thought I was part of like some big medical body or at least a doctor or something. And he looked so impressed. And I just, obviously I never broke it to him that I was neither of those things. But yeah, I think it does make you think like, oh my God, what am I doing here? And you know,
that's,
I've been
such
asked...
imposter syndrome train of thought that you immediately went to, he's gonna have this expectation of me that I'm a doctor and being a doctor would make me a better person than what I do right now. Like, that is imposter syndrome in a nutshell. Yeah. Like what you just described
completely. And yeah, you know, like I've given amazing talks or been asked to talk in front of some incredible people or give some inspiring talks, and I just think like, God, they really must have gone through the list if they're all the way down to little old me at the bottom. But what about you, George? Tell us about some of your imposter syndrome experiences.
Oh, God, too many. I think a big part of the fact that I come across as so confident is maybe makes people think that I don't have those self-doubting thoughts, but I think I've just gotten quite good at being like, well, you guys are obviously sticking around, but I'm gonna do this anyway. A lot of it is tied into being plus size, so a lot of the time I definitely think people must be really shocked when they meet Robbie and see he's my husband because he's like a slim, conventionally attractive guy. They must think he's like only into chubby women and like, or he's like stuck with me now, or that he's just some kind of pushover guy who isn't a good partner in other ways because he must have some kind of bad quality to have wanted to like hang around me for so long. And I think I've spoken on a previous podcast when I went on holiday with Robbie and one of my friends who's very slim, and I thought, oh God, when we go to the bars, everyone's gonna think they're the couple and I'm the tag along fat friend, because that's just where like your brain goes to, which is so sad. But society has really drilled it into us that fat women don't get fit slim men, because we are undesirable and they are desirable, and that's that. Doesn't go beyond how either of us look. That's just what makes us what it makes us. And I think also doing the blog for as long as I've done it, I obviously get a myriad of comments from all sorts of people taking me to task on many aspects of my life, like disliking many things I say and do. There are whole forums that chat about how much they don't like me, and sometimes I sit there and, you know, I've maybe had a couple of bad comments and I just think everyone else must just be tolerating me, or it'll only be a matter of time until the people that follow me feel the same as these people, and it's only going to be a matter of time before they realize I'm a fraud. And a lot of it is like, I don't deserve the success I've had from the blog. Like, I've just been lucky, I was just in the right place at the right time. Like, people are only following me because of what I represent. Like, they don't actually want to follow me. And you know what, with imposter syndrome, I find you definitely have to take ownership of some of those thoughts and feelings. Like, yeah, people don't like me. There are going to be people who follow me and don't like what I have to say. There is maybe a certain element to my success that is luck, but you have to own the other aspects of it too. Like, I can't be so big-headed that I think that I've just worked really hard and got loads of fans and admirers, but I also need to try and get out of that headspace of worrying that everyone thinks that and try and find that happy medium. But it is bloody hard to do. I'm more of a happy 2XL than a happy medium, you know what I'm saying?
I love that.
Do you find though, with like when you started Slink and things, like I can't even imagine what that was like 10 years ago, starting your own business and stuff. It's like the doubt that you might have from people, or the worry about like someone else is going to do this better or is doing this better. I just think it's amazing that you went and did that, because I look at that and I think I would get such imposter syndrome and doubt about that, because it's all tied in, isn't it? Self-doubt is imposter syndrome, because you're doubting yourself because you're telling yourself the worst thing is going to happen. The people are going to think this thing of me. So like, did you definitely find that? I know you've spoken about it with your job, but did you definitely find that with Slink as well?
I just feel I was so young and naive.
Like, I mean, it's like,
no, I really was. I was so much younger, and you know, when you're young and out of uni and you think, oh, I'm gonna change the world. So yeah, I think I was just naive about it. I'm still quite kind of baffled that it's happened, or that, like, I remember when I first when I first used to get emails from readers, and like I've had some really epic emails, you know, the kind of ones that you read on the Tube platform and then you're crying and you're like, oh my God, what is going on? They were always amazing as well, because I think, you know, part of that imposter syndrome is when you think like, why am I doing this? Is it really worth it? You know, is it any good? Should I still be doing this? Mm-hmm. And then when you get those kind of things, you think, yes, yes, I should be doing this. Yeah. It's a good idea. I think when I first started it, I think a lot of people thought that, you know, plus models were just those like smiley models. They weren't going to do editorial. Mm-hmm. So I think I had to almost fight against everybody else's imposter syndrome as well, of thinking can't happen and can't be done.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe weirdly imposter syndrome comes more with age. As you actually get more knowledgeable, I feel like you have more imposter syndrome. And then when you're young and you just think you know it all, so you don't really have it. That's quite crazy.
It's like children when they fall over, relax because they don't know how much it hurts. But the older you get, the more you're like, I can't relax. This is going to hurt me. And I think that's the same thing. It's just you can't relax against something that you feel is going to fuck you up, basically. Do you know where I also get like such big imposter syndrome, and I'm sure it links into being female and being fatter, is the gym.
I feel like
Robbie will sometimes describe me as a gym bunny to people who will be talking about stuff, and they say, oh, you run so much, Robbie, and like, George, have you ever thought about getting into running? Fuck off, firstly. And then Robbie will be like, oh no, like, she's a proper gym bunny. And I think, oh no, don't say that about me. And I do that thing that I don't think you should do, but I do it, where I'm like, oh well, you know, I don't actually do any other kind of exercise because I work from home mostly, so I don't really walk much and leave the house. I go to the gym loads, and like, I've gone really high pitched and really quick to try and almost justify why I should go to the gym a lot, other than the fact I really fucking enjoy lifting weights and going to the gym. But firstly, I feel like a bit of a fraud because I like the gym. I feel people are like, well, you're fat, how can you really like the gym? Like, you must be there for weight loss. No, bitches, I'm there to crush the patriarchy with my thighs. And second of all, I feel when I walk into that weight section, I have to almost take a moment before I walk into it to go, what are you going to go in there and do, George? You're going to do deadlifts with a trap bar, you're going to do 70 kilos. And then I walk in with my headphones on and I just go and do it, and I think, no one noticed me, I'm walking like I belong here, I do belong here, I know what I'm doing, I don't need any help, please don't look at me. And I get very in my head about being like female and plus and doing weights and things like that. Would you say you're the same?
Definitely amongst other people in the gym, less so with the trainers, because they, I mean, not anymore, I haven't been since like lockdown, but
no.
But old Rifki, obviously all the trainers knew me and they knew who I trained with and they'd all seen me train, so they kind of knew where I was at. But I think definitely the first time I ever went to classes and things, and people would come and try and like make it easier for me, or like, you know, give me the fat girl version of whatever they were doing, and I'd be like, fuck off, I can do this, I've been training for ages. But then it does kind of seep into your imposter syndrome, and that just that feeling that you're not supposed to be somewhere when you've got every right to be there as well. Mm-hmm.
It's that preempting what people might think about you when they're usually just thinking about what they're going to eat for dinner, or how they can like take a really good Instagram selfie without everyone noticing or whatever. And I think a big part of imposter syndrome is also remembering how you react around other people. So when I'm in the gym like fretting about people, or I'm worrying about what Robbie must think of me as a partner, or when I'm worrying what people might think as like me having Robbie as my partner, I will then go, right, okay, no, take a moment. Who else have you noticed is in this pub or in this gym or wherever you are like worrying about something? Are you worrying about them? Are you sat judging them and thinking that? And you have to think, okay, maybe I am judging that person a little bit. So yeah, maybe someone is judging me a little bit, but mostly I'm not giving a fuck. I'm not trying to write their narrative for them. So hopefully people aren't doing that for me. That's something I try and do, and it's something we'll touch on more in the tips and tricks sort of how to get rid of it. That's my conflicting headspace as I walk through the gym and like walk into any situation. It's like, what are they thinking of me? Oh my God, they're thinking of me. Am I thinking of them? No, but they're probably still thinking of me. Ah, there's always someone chattering away in my brain, I feel.
You really are never alone, are you?
No, I'm not. I watched the film Inside Out recently, I couldn't remember the name of it then, and I was just so like, it's about the little girl and all the like things, like the emotions in her brain and how they sort of like get together and make things work. I was like, oh God, I really feel like I have all of those in my brain. I can totally see why this movie works, because it does feel like that sometimes.
It's that time of the week where we talk about self-care. And this week's self-care is actually like a little hint or tip if you're going into a really big situation. So if you're going into a big meeting, maybe you're going to see like family or friends that maybe you don't find easy to be around. Maybe you're, you know, having a new experience. And this is just to kind of get you into the headspace where you feel that you can own it. Now, we're going to talk about the lady that I learned this trick from a little bit later. She's going to be our who to follow. But it's basically about the Superman pose. So if you think about Superman, he stands with his hands on his hips. He makes himself really big and tall and broad. And so if you're going to go into, you know, a big work situation or a big life situation, take a few minutes, go to the bathroom, do your Superman pose, take some deep breaths, and then you can go into it. Because if you make yourself really big and really broad, you're basically coming from a position of power. If you're, let's say, sitting outside waiting to go into an interview and you're sitting there and you're kind of, your shoulders are hunched and you're trying almost to disappear, your performance quite possibly will follow that vein. Whereas if you go in, there is something, you know, it's quite primal, that idea of, you know, like lions and gorillas, you know, they make themselves really big, really tall and really powerful. So before you next go into your big life occasion, or even if it's just, you know, you want to talk to some new mums at the school gate and you're feeling a bit nervous, get yourself into the right headspace beforehand, do your Superman pose, have a deep breath, and then in you go. And that's this week's self-care tip.
Rivki recently got an interview and was successful getting the job. And in my mind now, all I can think is that Rivki was just around the corner, hands on hips, taking off her glasses like Superman, like getting in the zone, because you nailed it.
Getting in the phone box, whizzing round into my outfit change, obviously.
Yeah. And then she went and got the job. Yeah, I love that tip. I am going to take that one on board. Thank you very much. And now it is time for this week's fashion segment with Rivki. So what have you got for us this week?
This season is all about kind of getting it right for you. I think before we had really prescribed trends, and actually that's kind of gone out the window with the whole COVID situ. So I really wanted to talk about pieces that made you feel comfortable and powerful, whether you're working from home, whether you're going back into the office, or whether you're interviewing again on Zoom calls or having to head to actual interviews. Having some pieces in your wardrobe that help you feel put together will really, really help you as you navigate this new season. So I think I'm going to talk about three key pieces to have in your wardrobe. Number one, a great blazer. If you're going into the office, of course it helps you look professional, but equally keep it on the back of your chair for Zoom work calls and you can just throw it on. No one will know that really you're not dressed up at all and you're just working in a t-shirt. And also think of it like we were saying with a Superman pose of like making yourself bigger and broader. You often find jackets are like shoulder padded or have broad shoulders. That's the reason why. It is about creating that statement of power. And so I think investing in a great blazer is so, so important. My next piece, a great blouse or like a great top. Again, perfect for you work from homers. You can have tracksuit bottoms on the bottom, even on an interview, to be honest, if you really wanted to. You could do just the top half dressing. So,
Half dressing. That's the phrase I've heard during lockdown.
Yeah, it's all about top half dressing. No one needs to know that you're still in sweatpants. And then a really, really good versatile dress. Preferably like a pinafore dress, because then you can put different tops and blouses and constantly reinvent it. Because I think, you know, we're all trying to save a little bit at the minute. We don't want to invest heavily. So things that are like super versatile for all year round. And I'm going to put my favourites over at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram and Facebook. Now it's time for Just the Tips, which is Hayley's favourite. And so we'll be doing lots more of these. She thinks you all love them. We don't know, but we're going to go with it because we like giving them to you. This is for you, Hayley. Just some tips. How do you beat imposter syndrome? Like, how do we do it? And of course, guys, if you've got some great tips, make sure to send them over at Fat Chat Pod because we'd love to hear them too. George, yes, take it away.
We've said it in a lot of situations. We've said it when it comes to body confidence, but it is such a true tip. Fake it till you make it. Honestly, there is a reason that phrase is a thing. You know, genuinely, if you walk into a room and act like you know what you're doing, like I was saying, when I go to the gym, I will walk over to that weight section like I know what I'm doing, and then I feel like less people are looking at me and judging me because I've already made the decision, I know what I'm doing, and I walk over there powerfully. And that's it. That's what you have to do in situations. And you know, everyone is probably feeling imposter syndrome. Some people just hide it better, and you can be one of those people who hides it better. Fake it till you make it.
Whilst you're learning to fake it till you make it, just honestly, some deep breathing to calm yourself down before you start any big meeting or any big interaction of any kind is really, really helpful. Like, it will help you feel more centered, more calm. Just take a moment for yourself and then go in.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how much, I think since I started doing some yoga, how much I've realized that breathing is so helpful, because you almost have to strip it back to the elements and like regulate your heartbeat. Like, genuinely, it's so helpful to remember to breathe and remember to just breathe deeply. It's so helpful, such a good one. And yeah, other people are nervous too. You know, like Rivki was saying, it could be that you're meeting new mums at the school gate, or you are going into a new gym class, or you are like meeting people in the workplace for the first time. You know, you are all in the same boat in situations. And remember that everyone's going to be kind of nervous to talk to new people or be in a new situation. And they'll just be happy if you maybe made the first move. So in certain situations, just bite the bullet, just throw that imposter syndrome to the side and speak to those people, or do the thing that you've been putting off. Just do it.
And of course, you know, whilst deep breathing and, you know, Superman pose, etc., is really, really helpful, also just be prepared. I'm like such a Girl Scout. I love to swat up before any kind of meeting or any interview. It just makes me feel less of an imposter, because I kind of like, I go in and I think, right, I've really learnt my stuff and I actually deserve this because I've worked really hard for it. And then I think once, when you do that, when you put the legwork in, then you kind of like knock the imposter syndrome back a bit, because you think, no, actually I do know this and I do deserve that shot.
And as we've said in our self-care tip, you know, body language is a huge part of faking it. Don't close yourself off and make yourself feel smaller or make yourself look like you're nervous about something. Like, be confident, stand tall, make yourself taller, make yourself broader. Like, you almost have to like trick your brain by making your body do something. Like, put that foot forward, walk taller, walk proud, make the eye contact, and then once again, you're faking it till you make it, but that's okay.
And it's really funny, because I think, you know, sometimes we say things like, oh, I'm here, you know, I just got lucky. But like, everything in life is a little bit of luck. Don't underestimate the luck. And the luck doesn't necessarily mean you don't deserve to be there. But like, it's okay to be lucky on things sometimes. I've had this debate with so many people in the office before where they're just like, where they see like luck as an insult. But it's not. Like, we all need a bit of it, and that's fine. Don't not luck, but you know, your skills always play a part. Like, luck will only take you so far. You still have to have stuff to back it up. So if you're there, you deserve to be there.
Own it. God, I feel like these tips are really good pep talk. I'm going to listen to them another time. I love it. Tell yourself in the mirror that you deserve whatever shots you get given, because other people would jump at the chance to do it. You know, remind yourself that you do deserve the good things that are happening to you. You don't always have to brush it off, like Rivki says, as a luck, or oh, I shouldn't really be here. No, you're about to get something really fun or good happen to you. Own that. That's yours for the taking. Take it.
Sometimes imposter syndrome makes you feel like everyone else is just tolerating you and that they're faking liking you. But take a moment to remind yourself of all the wonderful and genuine connections that you have in your life and all the people that actually matter. Do you know what? You'll always get people that are fake, but you'll know deep down that you've got people in your life that are there because they want to be there with you. And you just got to forget the fake people.
It's hard, but it's worth it. It really is. And as we've spoken about with body confidence and things, it is something you have to work at. It isn't just something that you learn and it goes. You can't just like Patronus it away and like get rid of it. Like, it is going to come back. Like, it is basically a dementor. It's going to try and suck your soul away. You have to think happy thoughts and get rid of it. I will try and shoehorn Harry Potter references into this. It will wax and wane. It will pop up when you least expect it. So just make sure you are prepared. Keep working on your ways to beat it. And so when it does rear its ugly little head, you can Patronus it out of there. guys, as we said, we want to hear your tips. We want to hear from you on the Fat Chat community, which is our private group on Facebook full of wonderful, like-minded people who share all sorts of great experiences. We want to hear on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Give us your tips. We can never have too many ways to beat the dreaded imposter syndrome. So let us know what you do and how you banish it from situations.
Every week, we'll be shouting out some brilliant accounts that we think you should be following, because the only diet you need to be on is a social media diet.
Yes.
So this week's who to follow is very much linked into our self-care tip. The self-care tip was all about making yourself bigger and doing the Superman pose. And I learned about that from a brilliant woman called Amy Cuddy, who is a social psychologist. And she has the most epic TED talk on body language. And she talks about, you know, representation as a way of disrupting bullies. She's just really inspiring. It's such a brilliant TED talk. We're going to link the TED talk on the Facebook page, and we're going to see if we can somehow link it on Instagram as well. But otherwise, make sure to head over to our Facebook page and watch that TED talk, because it was so interesting and so just motivating about how important it is to have great body language and how that can really help with your mindset. And you can also follow her on Instagram. She's literally just at Amy Cuddy, and we will link her on our socials as well.
So that is all for this week, guys. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast, and we have got new episodes out every Tuesday. And don't forget, you can follow us on at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. And don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to us. And if you are on Apple, you can leave us a 5-star review and give us a little synopsis of why you love the podcast. We love reading them. However, we know a lot of you don't listen on Apple, and you've actually been contacting us through our social media, which we love. We've been sharing actually a lot of our reviews over on our Instagram as well. So we would love to hear from you there as well. And we've got a little DM that we got recently that we'd love to share with you this week.
This one comes from Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
And she says, I'm still binge listening to the podcast. Because she's locked down alone in Melbourne. Oh, and you guys are the actual best. If and when you come to Australia, I'm shouting you all a pint stroke G&T. Fabulous.
Yes.
It means so much to hear how you three talk. And you are such an inspiration for me on my journey. That's amazing. Thank you so much. And I hope lockdown ends soon so that you can go out and get those G&Ts in.
Yeah, I really hope it does. Melbourne, you guys are doing so well over there for like how your lockdown has been. So sending you all the love. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, all of you amazing squishters in the squishterhood. That is all for this week.
See you next Tuesday.